Welcome to Nick's Mood Swing. My name is Jesse. If this is your first time here, make sure you hit that subscribe button, that like button. If you're listening on a podcast platform, hit that rate, follow, and leave a comment down below because we're trying to grow and glow, okay? I almost didn't put this episode out because every week there's been an issue with the audio. And as soon as I fix an issue, it feels like there's another issue that comes afterwards. And it started to, like, over the past couple weeks, build up and irritate me because it's like, you work fine on Thursday and then Sunday comes and what's going on? As I was trying to fix the audio, I kept going back and forth, like, do I fix the audio or do I just put it out like this? Because it's not horrible, but it's not where I want it to be. And sometimes I feel like we distract ourselves with the worries in our life that we don't pay attention to the message that the universe is trying to tell us. And please believe God will wake that ass right on up if you are not paying attention and make sure that you get it. And he did with this guest. My guest today is Randy Morales. He goes by Creative Vice. He is an incredible artist, a free thinker. We had an amazing, amazing conversation. And throughout our discussion, he reminded me that you don't have to be perfect to be impactful. And I felt like that message was so strong that as I kept, I was like downloading AI things to figure out sound. I was like to fix it. And as I'm listening to our voices through the AI, I'm just like,
this just sounds like a robot filter that would actually distract me more listening to the actual conversation. Something about it, processing it through the AI, it just felt cold
in comparison to the actual sound that we had recorded. Sometimes I'd be forgetting the message because I'm so focused on the bells and the whistles. And one of the big things that we discuss in the interview is imposter syndrome. So to destroy my imposter syndrome, I kept the audio the way it was, because the reality is Creative Vice's message was too strong and impactful for it to be shelved. So I'm dedicating this perfectly imperfect episode to any creator or person who has ever had the feeling that they weren't enough. Yo, first and foremost, thank you for coming.
Yo, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor. Bro, we're going to like geek out with each other. Because, like, I came across your stuff. I saw your art and I was like, what are these creatures? What is this? Who created this? What I do want to know is what was your childhood like? Like, where did you grow up? What was your household like? Mm-hmm. Two parents, one parent, what was...
So, I grew up in Washington State. Okay. Interesting enough, it's definitely a different life than living in LA. I grew up with three sisters. I am, like, the middle-ish. I grew up with my mom and dad, my stepdad, but he was like my real dad since childbirth.
Okay.
But yeah, we grew up in Washington, and man, I was so naive as a child. I thought the world was just beautiful and perfect. Like, I really thought that everybody just cared and loved for each other. And even like when 9/11 happened, I was like, oh, it's just a random incident, you know, everybody still loves each other. And yeah, I just grew up with this idea that the world was perfect. And I think that has helped me, because I still want to have the world to be perfect. So that creates me trying to be nice to others.
Mm-hmm.
And also helps me in my art, because now I'm just like very focused on trying to make the world a better place in a way.
Well, I love that, because what was a moment for you where you kind of had that wake up of, whoa, I'm living in a dream world? Oh.
Military. I joined the military when I was like basically 21.
Why?
I'm a person that needs to succeed in life. I firmly believe in myself and the things I can do. And at the time, I was working a couple jobs. I was just going to school. I just got a modeling contract, but I wasn't doing anything. And so I want to succeed in life. So I was like, let me just join the military. My dad was in the Marines. My grandpa was in the Marines. My stepdad was in the Marines. My aunt was in the Army. It's just like, I grew up with a military family, and the military was going to give me a job that I can start making money and do something with my life.
Were your parents, when you got the modeling, was that something that they were supportive of, or?
Yeah, they were definitely supportive. It's just that...
How do you make money out of it?
Well, no, I'd only done it for like 2 months.
Oh, okay.
It was fresh. I didn't even give it a chance to actually see where I can go.
Were you into it, or was it just
something
that just kind of happened?
I kind of always did modeling slightly with like friends, and outside of that, like I've done a couple like things when I was a child, but I just never really did it. And at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a living. I didn't realize I wanted to get into creative things. I just didn't do it because at the time, you know, they say creative jobs, you don't get paid.
Right.
So I was told that when I was younger. So already when I was like in high school, I just was just chilling. So I was like, I'm down to do modeling. But I had gotten a car accident. I was speeding down this hill, and in Washington, it's like literally country. And like my house was like literally was like a cabin house. And I was speeding down this hill, and I slid into the ditch. And literally a year before that, my friend who lives in California, it was raining, he slid into a tree and died. Mm. And there was only one tree. Like, it was literally an open field, one tree, and I guess he hit that one tree and got in a car accident and died. Mm. I'm in Washington, there's trees everywhere, and I fall in this ditch, and I'm okay. So, like, I don't know, I just, my mom was so disappointed in me. She was just so upset at me, and I was just like, I gotta do something with my life, so... Uncle Sam, here I come.
Okay. So you went to the military.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? Was it, did you, you know, obviously, like, one thing I will say, every cousin of mine that did it, they come out very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And that crosses over into their afterlife of military. What was a pro and a con for you with going into the?
I wouldn't say I was disciplined. I grew up in a military family.
Right.
Like, my dad, like, as my punishment, I would have to do wall sits. It's called electric chair. You sit against the wall, arms out like this, and just sit there, just like, ah. So, like.
So, you have great quads.
Actually, I do. Plus, I played soccer. I do. What I got out of the military was, that, once again, that realization that the world is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me that. And I kind of appreciate that, because now I'm not, like, naive, you know what I mean? Like, I now know that. What I got out of it, though, too, was the world's not perfect. So now it's like this double-edged sword. Like, it kind of made me sad. I had a lot of sad moments in the military. Like, it was lonely. Because a lot of people in the military at the time, too, they just aren't fully there mentally either. It's just like, it just breeds stupidity in a way.
Because
mm-hmm. all we did was just fight. I would fight people. Look at me. Like, I don't look like a fighter. I would just go down to somebody else's room where, like, they sleep. It's called birthing area. And I'd be like, yo, you want to start shit? And I would just start wrestling with them. And
where do you feel that came from?
Energy. Okay. It's just a whole bunch of men on a ship, stuck, working together, told what to do. There's nothing else to do but be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We work out. People be watching porn together in the little birthing area. That's just how, like, crazy it is on the ship.
When they say boys will be boys.
Yeah, literally, the military breeds that.
Okay.
It's easy to mind control a boy. And that's what you have to do. You have to, in the military, you have to be able to do what you're told
mm.
and not really think about what to do. So the military, like, taught me that I didn't want to be in that space. You know, I'm a free thinker. And on top of that, like, once again, trying to be better in my life, I told them to send me to school. I wanted to be an air traffic controller. Not because I thought the job was cool. Just instantly, once you got the military, it was like $100K a year.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm trying to get the money. And when I was getting out, they said they were going to send me to school, but they never did. And I'm like, I'm not signing this contract until I go to school. And they never did, so I got out.
Okay. So when did art kind of come into play after military?
Okay, so art came into play years later. I got out of the military, I started doing modeling and acting again, and then I thought I was good, so I moved to LA from Florida, because I'm like, oh, I'm doing great here in Florida. Like, I literally did a show where I was in my underwear, and they paid me $100 an hour just to paint chocolate on me. That's not really modeling, but...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's still...
Look, in this day and age, they don't put you on OF and you make all the coins.
Literally, though, literally. But, like, I was doing, like, runway shows and stuff like that, so I thought I can come to LA and do it. Learn
no,
the hard
how'd
way.
How'd that work out?
No. It was hard. It was just like, if you don't know nobody, then it's really hard to get into. And plus, I'm, like, 5'11", so... They were like, you're not six. Like, you got to be like 6'1" to really get into modeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At least back then. That was also like, what, 10 years ago? Damn, I'm old. that was like 10 years ago. But what got me into art again was COVID. COVID was my eye-opening experience for like painting and art. I was let go from my job because they weren't sure what was gonna happen. And I was chilling and my TV broke. And I'm like, damn, my TV's broken.
Not during COVID.
And you know, my mind, how my mind thinks, I was like, yo, TVs are made to have pictures. So I bought some paint on Amazon. I started painting on my TV.
I love it.
And then that's what kind of like grew that interest to get back into art again.
Okay, you're sitting here talking about you went to the military and you had all this energy. And so you're trying to fight people because you had all this energy. So
yeah.
Now COVID happens. I mean, what happened with that energy? So you, instead of turning it into something negative, you used painting and art as that outlet?
Yeah, I mean, constantly I would just paint every day. Like, COVID was, I understand it was hard for others. For me, COVID was amazing. I had a great time due to the fact that my roommates at the time, we got along. We would just barbecue every day, watch movies together. It was like the first time in my life I could relax.
Mm.
I had no worries. Like, you weren't worried about being up to work on time. Like, you didn't care about anything. I mean, some people worried, but for me, I had no worries. You know what I mean? So I could paint every day. I could fuck around and find out and be like a child again. COVID was like me being a child again, because now I had no responsibility.
I think it was almost like a creative renaissance for people
after
COVID. We should honestly have a time like that where we shut everything down. Once every few years.
I wish. Like, what's the chances of that, though?
So I saw in an interview you said, you made a comment that your mom was a big push for you with art. And she made you a doer versus a dreamer.
Yeah.
And explain that.
So basically, ever since I was a child, man, I was a dreamer. Always a dreamer. I would say, hey, mom, I want to do this. I was like, hey, mom, I want to be a singer. And my mom is a real person. She was like, you know what, son, you just don't have that talent or skill, so therefore maybe you should just try to focus on something different. And I was like, okay. So like, I've always grown up with my mom being real with me, like no BS. So she would be excited for my ideas over time, but then eventually after hearing the same shit, she's like, cool idea, nice,
what's next? Yeah, are you gonna do it?
Yeah. So it was like, I gotta change that. And I stopped telling my mom what I was doing and showed her what I did.
Mm.
'Cause I feel like people, they love talking about ideas. It gives them a little high. And then once they realize the work that goes into it, they're like, oh no. It was a great idea though. It was a great conversation that one moment. And it made me like be more about my movement than talk about it. 'Cause you can talk about something and not happen. Like, especially living in LA, you know, people talk all the time. Like, I want to do this with you. I want to do that with you. It just never happens because it's just all talk.
And you know, it's funny because you learned at a young age. For me, I learned it quickly out here that you learn discernment.
Yes.
Out here.
Yes. I've learned that a lot lately too, man. As a creative man, you really have to own your power and not give it away. As creatives, we typically give our power away to other people to help them and what they want to do.
Yes.
And granted, yes, they probably do want to help you, but in the end, it's still for them. And it really like takes away what you can do for yourself. LA taught me that for sure. Like, own your own power and be your own creative and find that path and way.
And I love that you said that, because as an artist specifically, for me, DJing, I made this mix years ago. This is like when, I know this is gonna sound crazy, when YouTube was like just starting out.
Soulja Boy days?
Bro, it might have been before that, to be honest with you. Like, and I uploaded this Blondie mix and someone ripped it.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden they put a music video. They made a music video to it. And that was my first time putting my creativeness out into the world and having it taken.
Yeah.
Do you have any experiences with that?
So, as a Libra, you know what I mean? I'm always looking for the checks and balances.
Yeah.
And for me, man, go ahead, steal my shit. It's my shit, but that's more affirmation for me to realize that, yo, I am that good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stealing my stuff and becoming hot off it, that means I'm that good. But as a creative, I think it's important for you to find your mark. So therefore, if somebody steals it, they know that somebody stole it from you.
Yes.
If you have like a consistent mark of like what you do, it's easier for people to recognize that that's from you.
Mm-hmm.
And as creatives, we love to mind jump in different directions. And what I've learned so far is the best way as a creative to really succeed as a creative is creating that same mark over and over again. It's like walking in a field of grass. You can walk once down one pathway and that one pathway would go away because it's just going to cover it up again. But if you walk consistently every day on that path, somebody's like, oh, that's Randy's path.
Yeah.
So therefore, creating that path mark of what you want to create is gonna protect you from people stealing your ideas, but also let them steal your ideas, man, because at least you know you're doing something worth stealing. It's better than not
can
being
never
seen.
Be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because they can steal that one idea, but can they really copy everything you're doing?
So who is Creative Vice? Where did Creative Vice come from? And then what is the difference between Creative Vice and Randy?
Okay. So Creative Vice, man. Creative Vice came from my vice in life, which is creativity. I can't live life without creating. Not unfortunately, I'm very blessed. But like, I dream about creativity. I'll wake up in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m. with like a song idea, and I can't sing once again. My mom said I can't sing. And I mean, I probably could if I take lessons, but like, I'm not a singer at this point in time. So this song is worthless to me at the moment. But like, that's how much my mind just loves to create.
But you could be a writer.
I do. Actually, I wrote a song before.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't know how to write songs either. I have to learn that skill still. But yeah, it's like, Creative Vice is literally just my desire to create everything in the world. Like, my goal for when I die is to be like, yo, Randy created this, 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 and that. And he did it well in those areas. And it's every single area. Like, one of my goals is to help people in poorer countries with food. I know there's this place, I believe in Malaysia, where they eat this food called Pug Pug. Pug Pug is basically trash food. Like, they go to the KFC parking lot, go in their trash can, pick up the chicken, because, you know, people don't eat the whole chicken. They just eat the center.
Yeah.
They take that little piece, clean it, then sell it to their fellow people in their community for 25 cents a meal. This is something somebody's already eaten. So, like, one of my life goals is to find a way to help them, like, take food from real restaurants, not in the trash,
mm-hmm.
that is still edible, but the restaurant's no longer using, and then use that to sell.
Oh.
So, like, that's one creative idea I want to do. Like, I want to hit almost everything I can before I die and do something, like, design a car that does something. I don't know. That's, like, my creative vice.
I love it. You made a comment where you said life as a creative is lonely.
Yes.
Totally agree. But what is your perspective on that?
So to me, the way I view a creative lonely life is sometimes you have an idea in your head of what you see, for example, this cup to be like. And as a creative, you strive, you really want to show that person like, hey, look at this cup. It does this, this, and that. But sometimes it's hard for them to see that vision. So now I'm sitting here being like, I'm just sad. I'm trying to show you this, but I can't.
Yeah.
And then for me too, like with all my creative ideas is I have a lot of those things I want to show people, but I can't show them. So then that creates a sense of loneliness because now I'm the only one who's seeing what I see and nobody else gets it. And then it's just like also as a creative, it's just, it comes with a lot of doubt and fear. So, and then the idea of being like, you know, perceived in some type of weird way. So it just affects you in all different types of ways. Like, as a creative, your whole life is being accepted, unfortunately. Like, you're supposed to not care what people think, but you're also supposed to care because they're the ones giving you money and everything.
Imposter syndrome. Creatives, I go through it all the time. How do you deal with that, and how has that been a fuel for your creativity?
Imposter syndrome. Yeah, I mean, to be real, just so everybody knows, everybody has imposter syndrome no matter where you're at. Like, no matter how successful you are, you will always have imposter syndrome. So first off, knowing and understanding that will help you, A, get through it, B, I like to do sound baths and meditations. Mm. I like to ground myself, and I stay away from others. I am very lonely at times creating my own things because other people's voices and opinions can sometimes affect you and really just drive you away from your own creativity. And sometimes they want to be helpful, sometimes they don't. But that's how you start to lose yourself, is when other people are kind of in your own mix and just, once again, owning your power and just not giving a fuck what other people say. That's how you get rid of imposter syndrome, because people are going to fuck with your shit if it's good.
Exactly.
And the only way it gets good is if you keep going.
Yes. And, you know, for me, it was having this idea and this feeling of, people would always say, like, when I did stand-up comedy, they'd be like, oh, well, what stand-ups do you watch? Back in the day, I used to listen, I had my record, my grandmother's record player, I'd listen to Bill Cosby, Ellen DeGeneres when I got older, Margaret Chow. But then when I started doing comedy, I couldn't watch other comedians, because then it would be like, oh, maybe I should talk about this, maybe I should do that, versus actually don't want to absorb any content that I am doing, so that what the content I create is authentically me, and I'm not mimicking. Or, you know, even DJs are going to clubs and stuff like that, you listen to the DJ and you're like, oh, I like the way they mix that, and it's like, but now if I mix that, then I'm just ripping your mix. Like, where if I'm just in my own home and I'm creating, it's authentically what I am developing.
Yeah.
So I understand that getting rid of other people's voices, and even like podcasts and stuff like that. Like, I listen to podcasts, but more self-help kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to ever be mimicking, you know,
yeah.
Being authentic or creative.
I have something to add to that, though.
Go ahead.
I think it's important to, so for me, I didn't go to school for art. So I have a very childlike mind. I can just create whatever I want and not have to worry about rules. I think it's important for people to have that moment of not getting influence from others,
mm-hmm.
to kind of create your own style. Then once you create your own style, that's when you get that other input from others, because there's a lot to learn from what other people did,
right,
to help yourself. And to be real, art is just mimicking art. You know what I mean? Like, when somebody paints a picture, it's from something they saw, heard, something inspired that. So it's always mimicking each other. So I think it's, I mean, everybody steals.
Well, wait, so I love what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because who are your inspirations? Because I'm not going to lie, I saw your work and I was like, oh my God, Basquiat. Like, you are literally the new age version.
Thank you, thank you. So for me, I am now currently getting into that phase of learning from others.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like watching other people make art. I don't want to be compared to anybody else. I want to be Randy Richard Morales, Creative Vice. That's who I am. I'm not Basquiat, I'm not whoever else. But, you know, it's just the style of art. So I always steered away. I didn't look at reference books. And now I'm at a point where I now have, like, my cartoon characters, my inner demons, and, like, my abstract art is mine. And now I can find inspiration from others. So a person right now is, like, David Cho.
Okay.
As an artist that I am right now, watching David Cho, he's helped me feel a little bit more comfortable as an artist. Because, once again, it's lonely as an artist. And the only way to not feel lonely is to talk to other artists. Because your friends and family don't understand who you are.
Bro.
Not at all. Like, I have ADHD. My family constantly wants to put me on ADHD medicine.
Yeah.
But what's making me creative? Probably my ADHD. So getting rid of that and taking medicine is not going to solve my issue. So watching David Cho and hearing about his whole thing about art has really helped me grow and become better.
Same. I got put on medication. I hated it, how I felt. And I felt like it blocked a lot of creativeness. And then also, it made me look at myself like, you don't need anything other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, I would always joke around, like, I can close my eyes. And the world that is in my head, like, I had one friend come over, and you see you came in, I had the projector on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like nature sounds. My friend came over, and he was like, you just watch this? I'm like, I have enough going on in my head.
Yeah.
That I don't need to invite, you know, and the older I'm getting, the less television I need, you know, even music to a point is now, like, I find myself just listening to, like, high frequency sounds.
Yeah.
So when I say inspire, like, who inspired you growing up, what inspired you growing up in the sense of, like, what cartoons did you watch? Mm. What shows were in your mind? Where did your vision for cartoons and doodles and all that kind of stem from your childhood?
So, I always say this, but it started with the sandbox. For me, in my backyard, I had a sandbox, and I would just sit in the sandbox alone. I didn't need any friends, I didn't need anybody, and just play with my toys and just create these worlds. And from there, it's like, I would spend the night at my friend's house. And when I'm at my friend's house, we'd play like Spacecraft. It's like this game where you know Spacecraft? Yeah, so it's a game where you have to create this world to fight other people and build things. And then when I was at school, the only other kids I got along with were when we were playing sports, PE, or I had this one friend, I believe his name is Aaron, we made a comic book. So my whole life, I now realize this, everything I do is usually with somebody else creatively. Mm. And that's how I became creative. It's just like, I can't sit there and talk about LeBron James and his game killing his score last night, because it's like, it doesn't do anything for me creatively. So it was just being around creative people and then like watching the Power Rangers, man. Power Rangers was like one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Power Rangers. My family always watched Disney movies. So The Sword in the Stone was one I used to watch. And I was always in trouble too, because I was not a good kid. So I'd watch cartoons when I was in trouble. I'd just sit there and watch cartoons. You know what I mean? Like, cartoons is just like my saving grace. Just like when I was visiting my grandma in California, it's my grandma's house. I love her to death, but there's nothing going on. So we would watch Boomerang and just watch all the old school cartoons, or we'd watch like Courage the Cowardly Dog. So cartoons really, I don't like to watch anything else. Like, I want funny things, sci-fi things.
X-Men.
Yes, X-Men is, Wolverine is dope. I mean, honestly, the blue one that teleported everywhere.
Nightcrawler.
I don't know why I can't think about that. Nightcrawler, or I used to always play the stick games too. Like, that's all I cared about.
So how did you get to a point where you felt comfortable, like, okay, so you start making art, and people start liking it, and you know, where you, how do you make money off of that? How did you develop your worth towards what your art actually is? Strength within yourself.
I see. Art fucking sucks. because it's like, once again, that imposter syndrome, I don't think I'm worthy of selling an art piece for $40,000. But what's the difference between my art piece and somebody else's art piece? Yes, talent and skill, but also name and recognition.
Mm-hmm.
They threw paint on a fucking canvas too. It's the same exact materials. You're just paying for their skills. So all it is believing in your skills, giving it that power and conviction that it's worth that $40,000 price. So when I started out, it was selling at Melrose Trading Post.
Okay.
I would sell my art there, and it was tough. Because like Melrose is kind of like a high-end vintage shopping place, but it's still vintage shopping. So the people that were coming in there, they were like, I had somebody be like, oh, your art's too expensive. And then I had one person be like, oh, how much is that? Oh, that's too cheap. And they didn't want to buy it because it's cheap. And then I had this little girl be like, Mom, I want that. And the mom be like, oh, I can make that for you at home. You know what I mean? It's just like those things, I hear those things. But it's what you have to do is realize that, yo, this is something you want to do, own it. You have to own that power. So therefore, I am coaching myself throughout this time that my art is worth that $40,000. And you have to realize that selling art is not about the art piece. It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gives a fuck about your art piece. That's why somebody can sell a banana taped to a wall for $80,000 just because it's about the topic and what it is. It's nothing about the fucking banana. So you almost have to become the art piece while your art piece is like at the same level as you.
Right now you have Inner Demon is the project that you're working. Do you call it a project? Is it an error? Is it an error? Or is it like Taylor Swift, you're in your like, Inner Demon era?
I think I am in my Inner Demon era. People think I'm kind of like on this weird emo, like gothic, I don't believe in God. I don't really believe in God, but I believe in spiritual energy and whatnot. But like people are like, oh, you're kind of becoming this devil talking about demons. And what I'm really talking about when I say inner demons is your inner negative thoughts. Mm. Those are your demons because those are the ones that are going to stop you from being great. Like an inner demon, for example, is you're fat. And that inner demon's constantly telling you that in your face. You hear it in your head. So I try to like draw it as like this cute little thing. And then at times I like make a crown. And in that crown, I put what that inner demon's telling me. So like mine for the longest time was worth. And for all artists, you are worthy. Worth is something I had to realize I had to find in myself. So my inner demon, drawing it out and putting worth in the crown, I'm like, I am worthy of being this artist. I am worthy of being in this podcast, talking to you in this moment, connecting. And that's like what inner demons are about. To make those things that your mind tell you can't or cannot do and make it tangible.
Did you ever grow up watching Buffy?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Yes!
My number one show growing up. Why I'm bringing it up is because what I loved about it is I watched this behind, like I was obsessed. Like I would get my VHS tape, stop record for the commercial, so I had all the tapes before the DVDs were released. I was that obsessed with it. And I remember watching this interview with Joss, and they were like, how do you create the monsters on Buffy? And he was like, you're watching it from this point of vampires and goblins. He's like, but each creature she meets is what someone her age in high school, the inner demons that we face. So now when you go back and you watch Buffy and you realize what each episode is about, the main bad guy is a symbol for, like you said, an inner demon.
Yo.
So go back and check that out. I love that you said that because I always thought that was so deep, and then I went rewatched it and you're like, whoa. Another conversation that I saw you had in a podcast was the chase for freedom, the pursuit of freedom.
Mm.
What is freedom to you?
So I've really been diving into this deep lately. I am almost at a point where I kind of want to move away from the United States. I'm finding out that you can live like in a country for like $1,000 a month.
Bro, I went to Greece insane. I'm like,
yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, just live out there. So I know what I want in life. I want creative freedom. I want to be that kid again in the sandbox where I didn't need anything else. And in that moment, I could create anything I wanted. So creative freedom to me is, unfortunately, it is financial freedom, so I need to find that. But to be able to wake up in the morning and be like, yo, I had this idea. I want to do it. I want to make a new type of cookie that's like oatmeal pie and apples in one, and we use apples instead of chocolate chips. Like, to have that freedom to be like, I'm going to pursue this creative idea. That's what I want in creative freedom.
Mm.
Not having, being able to live off my creative ideas that are my ideas and not somebody else watering it down to make it fit to what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the current dream I'm chasing and going to achieve.
Period.
As long as I move forward.
Okay. We kind of touched on this, but what does depression look like for you as an artist?
Mm-hmm.
Or what did it look like for you?
That's great. I'm probably depressed right now.
Okay.
Honestly. But it's a weird type of depression for me right now because it's, I'm having a hard time creating. I just don't feel like creating.
What is that? What's your block, do you feel?
It's, and this is what I think a lot of artists go through. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I see the light. I know I'm getting closer to really getting to what I want to do in my life. And it's having the discipline to just keep the head down. Don't just get so caught up in the light, because we're not out of the tunnel yet. I'm in that moment where I see the light, and I have to continuously put the same work and effort into it in order to get the final goal. Because, like I said, I see me having like these grand art shows. I see myself doing these cool fashion collabs. And it is happening. Like, I have a lot of things coming up for me, but it's not fully there yet. It's almost like, I think the light at the end of the tunnel is a lie.
There is no end of the tunnel. Because you can keep going.
Yes.
That's the beauty of being a creator.
Yes.
Is that, like you said, once you hit freedom, like right now, I would say in my life, I have hit a, I don't want to say a plateau, but I got out of depression to a point of, wow, I have my own company.
Mm-hmm.
It's surreal. For 2 years, my company has sustained itself. I don't have to work for anyone. I get to work with creatives.
Yeah.
I get to start doing my little podcast at night.
Yeah.
Get to meet different
Not
people.
Little, big podcast.
Big podcast.
Big podcast.
You know, big energy. And so, okay, I hit this thing that I always thought, this is where I want to get to. I'm nowhere near where I want to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And it's almost that... So my question is, instead of you thinking you're in your depression era,
mm-hmm.
would you say you're just maybe not depression and because you're doing the work,
mm-hmm.
you're still doing that, so would it be more of a feeling of burnout versus depression?
Mixture of both. I would say that, yeah. I think, for example, you said plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently at a plateau.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get through it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't want to talk to you. I am such a happy person. I really am. And I love, when I'm in this situation, I love talking. But like, once I leave here, bro, I'm gonna go home, sit on the couch, maybe draw and doodle little things, but just be a loner.
Yeah.
Which creatives need that. But yeah, I just need this plateau moment to kind of regather my thoughts and build the next big thing.
What are some tools that you use now? I know you said you do like sound baths,
mm-hmm.
and mantras. What's a mantra that you have right now?
My mantra right now.
Mantra,
let's see.
Excuse me.
Mantras. It's all good. I understand what you're saying. Bro, I'm just Thomas the Tank Engine. Is it Thomas the Tank Engine? I think I can. It's not.
Wait,
yeah.
What was that?
I think I can.
No, what was that with Damon Wayans?
Choo choo. Basically, yeah.
Okay.
I, like I said, and then also talking about it, I'm openly like, yo, I am not my highest self. Being able to acknowledge that I'm going through this is important. If you're not openly talking about it to other people, it's not gonna get any better. So openly talking about what I'm currently going through. And then once again, being hungry for it. As creatives, and to survive as a creative, you have to be hungry for it. You have to eat the shit to get to the good meal. And so therefore, yo, I have to take every single hit in order to get to the big picture. And I understand that, and that's why I'm able to keep going. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I am willing to do it. Because I'd rather eat my own shit than eat somebody else's shit
yeah.
and eat their shit for the rest of their life. At least I know eventually, I know it's in my shit. So it's like, I'm working towards that every day, and I'm okay with going through these sad moments or like, you know, tough moments. Because I know the happy moment is coming after.
How do you celebrate yourself?
Oh, celebrating myself has been very tough. I have not celebrated myself until last year. Because I feel like it doesn't feel like a win ever. Like, I do a gallery show. When I do a gallery show, I feel so depleted, man. Like, I just spent, 2-3 hours talking to every single person because I'm about connection. So I don't want to just go to a gallery show and just be like, hey, thanks for coming, and not try to talk to every single
right.
person. So for me, it's just like constantly just moving forward with that and just like, I don't know how to explain it.
Have you always been open with expressing your emotions and being comfortable with your emotions? Was that something that military kind of like broke you out of?
Art.
Okay.
So I have my Boxed Emotions series, and my Boxed Emotions series is literally me my whole entire life until art. I didn't share my thoughts and feelings for the longest time because specifically, I remember in high school, I got hurt and this jock was just like, stop complaining, you sound like a little bitch. And he was, cause I was just saying I was hurt and I was just saying what was going on. And then him saying that changed my life. I shut the fuck up. I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't tell people what I was going through. I would just keep it inside. So when I created my box of emotions, it's basically a marble piece. In the center, it just shows black and white emotions. And when you keep that inside internally, it becomes this crazy chaotic thing.
Mm.
And so that's why I created a box of emotions. And that represents me always keeping emotions inside. And it wasn't so art, and then working at Aloe, like designing at Aloe, man, like I got a lot into like the health and wellness space because Aloe's about that. So that's where I learned about sound baths. That's where I learned about just meditations, breath work, and all that stuff. So that really opened up my mind to actually go into therapy. So I found a therapist, and so I finally learned to let go. And then I'm starting to celebrate more. Like this year, I'm going to like Tokyo, Puerto Rico, Italy. Like I'm trying to really celebrate life. And every win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
But just realize there's more wins to get.
Right. What would you say is your biggest hurdle as a creative?
Mm. Biggest hurdle as a creative?
Mentally.
Myself.
Okay.
I mean, yourself is the biggest hurdle. Because once again, yourself is the one that's going to stop you from doing your creativity. Other people can say things to you, but at the end, you're the one that stops the creativity. You're the one that overthinks. You're the one that, technically, I really feel like you're the only one that can stop you from being great.
What about business, industry-wise, what's been your biggest hurdle?
Biggest money. Let's be real, money is a big issue. Like, I want to make jewelry one day. I'm working on a jewelry brand called Alter Ego, and that takes capital. But it's, I think also with being creative, you have to learn to be creative in what you do. So when I first started painting, canvases are expensive. But you know the best thing about LA? There's a lot of people that live here. Go on the street, there's doors, there's TVs, there's chairs, there's tables. All that stuff is canvas.
Yeah.
And take that and create. I would go to Ross and buy those $30 big art pieces, paint those white, and then put my art on top of it. So it's money can be an issue, but money is really you that stops you.
Yeah, go to Goodwill, all that.
Goodwill,
yeah,
man. Take some damn berries,
okay,
mush them up, and paint them on your clothes. At least that's something.
Obsessed. So what's next for you?
Mm.
Where are we right now? I know are we finishing Inner Demon, the Inner Demon world?
Mm-hmm.
Are we mid Inner Demon? What's next for you artistically, like drawing and creative, and then fashion wise, what's going on?
Cool. So to be honest, Inner Demons is the very beginning for me right now.
Okay.
Like I just gave you one today.
I'm obsessed.
Thank you. No, and I love it too because it said I am enough, and you said that earlier that you have that power. You realize you are enough. But Inner Demons is just starting off for me. I haven't really released it to anybody. I haven't sold any pieces. Anytime somebody gets it, it's just because I connect with them.
I love it.
And I give it to them. But outside of that, I haven't really shared it. Goals are to work with like a local coffee shop. I have this coffee shop I go to called Flower Boy. My goal is to actually like do like a little collaboration with them. I pay like on the coffee cups, and then you can buy like flowers, coffee, and art. Also,
side note, I want to bring you to this coffee shop down the street from me.
Oh,
it's my favorite coffee shop in LA. It is, I called Whale something. I don't even know, but I go there every morning.
They have matcha. I drink matcha. I don't drink coffee.
They have everything.
Yes.
But they make their own little pastries.
Oh.
They make their own teas. They make, everything is sourced naturally, locally. You would be a whole vibe with them.
I'm down for that because I think that's what people are also not realizing. Another hurdle is that if you're not connecting with your people, if you're not making your pastries, like for me, when I make my art pieces, you're supposed to protect your art. So I wrap my art. And when I wrap my art, I put art on top of the art.
Mm.
It's just like the little detail that you make. Like everything I do as an artist is to be connecting with somebody. I don't make art prints. Like I'd probably be doing better off if I just took pictures of my art, printed it out and sold it, but like I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not connection, and I think that's what makes me special, and I want all other artists to kind of focus on that too, because like the whole point of making art is to connect with somebody. So do it.
No, because I'm going to be honest with you, like holding the piece you gave me in my hand and looking at it and knowing that, because I have in the past, you buy, you know, again, I told you Marshall's, Ross, I'd stay in there. You know, when you find like a cool print of something and it's like, the print's cool, and then you go see it at someone else's house and you're like, okay. And you're like, okay, let me get rid of this elephant or whatever. I know you know exactly.
I actually painted on one of those before. I painted on an elephant before.
So then to see, and honestly it was hard to pick out of the three you showed me, but it was like this one was so unique and it just spoke to me. But then to hold it in your hand and it's like this thing that, it's a fingerprint. You know, and I think that that is in a day and age, and this, I didn't even smoke no weed. In a day and age where we get to this world of AI art, what's your whole, like, just kind of jump into that, your mindset of what you think, because I see people, I see artists using it, and I see people using it in creative ways. I also see a lot of people very upset, like Nicki Minaj, she dropped her album and she used AI to promote it, which innovative, because we haven't seen an artist, I haven't seen an artist do that. How does AI art make you feel? What's your mindset in this world of AI?
I mean, no offense, but if you're not using AI, you're behind. It's kind of like computers. You gotta realize, there's always something that's going to replace you in with the things you do. For example, if you were a farmer back in the day, and you were hoeing the freaking ground, they created tractors. That took somebody's job. You know what I mean? The person who learned how to ride the tractor then became more powerful. So AI is that same exact tool to help you as an artist become more creative and powerful. I love AI too, because AI has no judgment. I can write to it and be like, I have an idea to take this cup and paint it red. And AI is not gonna be like, that's a dumb idea.
Right.
Solo Cup does that. AI is gonna be like, well, do this, this, and this, and maybe it might work. AI to me is just like a smarter you that you can actually talk to and not worry about being judged and create some beautiful things. I think.
See, it's funny because you say smarter you. I would actually, I don't want to say smarter you, because it's like, it can't work without you.
Correct. And you're right, it's not smarter. I would say it's a you that has knowledge that you don't necessarily have.
Right.
It's a you that's going, it's you that has no judgment and is willing to help you do what you want to do. And as a creative and artist, I think it's up to you to use that tool, once again, tool, not a end-all, be-all product, but use that tool to help you create the things you want to do. Because in the sense, low-key, a lot of things are gatekeeped.
Yes.
AI is a key to unlock that gate. Because if you are hungry enough and you want to learn, you can work with it to figure out things. And that's what AI should be used for. Like I said, I don't think, once again, I understand people are saying it's going to take people's jobs. It's going to take your job if you don't know how to use it.
Right.
And once again, it's...
And actually, someone else is going to take your job and use it because they learned how to do it.
Exactly. And it's like, I can put in something in AI, and you can put something in AI, and we're still going to get something different.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to how to use the prompts, learning to think about what to say to AI is really going to help you grow. And one of the things I learned recently too, like ChatGPT, is honestly, if you have one singular idea, use ChatGPT for that one idea only. You know, you can open up a new chat.
Yeah.
Don't open up a new chat. For example, my jewelry brand, Alter Ego, I have one chat for it. And it stores that data over time. And now it knows exactly the different variations, the different stories I went through. And it knows my brand DNA. And now it's helping me start my business plan, which I didn't know how to do before. Like, I can now accomplish things more without getting help from others or being worried about being judged from others, thanks to AI.
Mm-hmm.
And AI is really a tool to empower you. But once again, it's learning how to use it and just not using it for like the end answer. Like, if I'm writing an email to somebody, I write what I want to say, banter from it. You know what I mean? Have a communication with it until you get the right thing.
Right.
Don't just instantly like put this in and be like, oh, done.
Yeah. I like ChatGPT. I've been really dabbling in the world of Midjourney.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing the difference between what Midjourney is going to give me versus what Chat's going to give me, what even Canva, because they have their own little thing that you can do. And I'm like, what are the three different versions? Who's going to give me what based off the same prompt?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so interesting too. Fashion though.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we now with fashion? And what kind of, because you went to school for fashion.
Yeah.
What was the pause with it? Where are you now with it?
Okay. So fashion for me, it's been 6 years since I started fashion. I went to school at 27. So always feel like you can change your life anytime point in life. So going to school at 27, I knew what I wanted to do. So when I was at school, I had my little presentation called Six, Speak Into Existence. And a teacher saw it, let me present to somebody else. And then that's how I got my first job at Aloe Yoga.
Wow.
And I was designing there for 5 years. I just recently left Aloe to work at a new company called Cuts, and I'm designing there. But outside of that, I'm still growing my own fashion brand. Like, I make a couple other pieces personally. I'm looking to paint on clothes, continue that art and make it more connective. And then, I mean, I need to get over my fear.
Of what?
Not succeeding in fashion.
But you're already succeeding in every other avenue. So it's just, this is just another creative avenue.
It's just always the weird feeling of failing for your own self. Like, you can do it for everybody else, but doing it for, something about doing it for yourself, you never put the same effort. It's like, you don't want to let somebody else down, so you work harder for them.
Mm-hmm,
you got to get over that. You got to get over that and not let your damn self down.
Yeah.
But like, mentally, those mental blocks, that fear, that doubt.
And it's so funny because, again, like, going back to COVID, I was working at that company and everyone at that company was like, Jesse, you are way too good to be here. Like, they're not paying you enough for all the work you do. You stay in after time. You're doing all things because I wanted to impress this guy because he had all this money and he had this company and it was successful. I'm like, oh, if he sees me, there's this meme. It's like, oh, if I work extra hours, if I don't take my vacation time, if I don't take my sick time, my boss will notice me and give me a raise. No. No. And I said to myself, they fucked one project up over for me. And I was like, I'm doing this for you and you taking my whole day up. But I can get through the work so quickly. If I just find five people who need me to edit a video.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting paid by five different people. And I still could, bro. You just, I know you already know to just do it. So it's not even like, hey, let me inspire you. Like,
no, you are, you
no,
are.
But it was, that was a lesson that I really, you know, I think sometimes society puts it, we watch TV, but people going to work, oh, the movie's about this guy, he at work. And so we think we have to go to work and we have, a family has to be this. And life has to be like that. And it's like, no, you can literally be whatever you want.
I think for me, I don't want to, I'm not one to ask people for things. You know what I mean? Like, in creating your own fashion brand, you have to put it out there and be like, hey, will you buy this?
Right.
And
yeah, the answer is yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I saw your socks. I want you.
Thank you. Yeah. I am working on getting past that. I'm actually working on a brand with one of my best friends called Private Party Label on the side. We're working on building that up again and really becoming our own masters of our own stuff. It's just getting it to that point, which takes capital, but there's other ways to get around that.
Right.
It's just learning exactly what that is. And thanks to ChatGPT, you know, it's helping us build a business plan to probably gain capital to actually start the project.
Okay, love it. Do you have any tips for artists who are talented enough to step away from a 9-to-5 to go full time?
I think best tip would be kind of have a plan. I mean, you do have to have a plan to leave. Have an exit plan. Don't just jump into just leaving. But create that plan of what to do to leave and then what you're going to do to sustain your life that you want to live. And you have to, once again, also realize it's going to get rough. And you have to have that ability to continue to push on. Because if you're a type of person that as soon as you feel some type of friction, leaving your full-time job is not going to be okay.
Right, yeah.
You have to literally
sit in discomfort.
Yes. You have to go
okay
broke in a,
yeah,
in a way and be like, how am I going to pay my next... I'm going to have to eat hot dogs because they're cheaper than... I have to go to McDonald's or something. You have to be willing to go through that moment and then also be smart and save later down the road. You have to put yourself out there. You have to put yourself out there. Once again, being a creator, you can't just be talented. You have to be able to talk. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to network with other people in order to make it. Because once again, people aren't buying your art, they're buying your story about the art and you.
Well, I just want to thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And coming here. And again, I can't wait till when you have a show. I want to come down there. I want to film it. I want to do segments, all that
stuff. Maybe you can help me. I'm working on my biggest art show I want to do. It's called Flee.
Okay.
It's about immigration.
Okay.
The whole purpose is to tell the story of immigrants on why they would leave their homes to come to America. Like, I can't picture myself leaving everything I have here and just traveling on foot through, you know, treacherous things or whatnot, just to be in America where you probably are gonna get like judged no matter what. And then like, you know, it just doesn't seem right. So like, I don't know, basically I wanna create art that way. So on the border, I wanna take trash and then create sculptures of like stories on why people were leaving. So in Nicaragua, they take boats. I wanna create a boat out of the trash that's left behind to showcase, you know, what they're going through.
I love it. Obsessed. And you know, it's funny that you said that because you just talked about a little earlier, you know, why would someone get up and leave from where they're at? Where then you sat with me and you told me, I want to get up and leave from here and live somewhere else to live a better life.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, it's like they would say grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Or it's perspective too.
Perspective.
You know, we have a mutual friend and I watch his life every day overseas and I'm like,
yeah,
what am I doing? Like, these, it looks so laid back. When I went to Greece, and they, when I tell you 4 o'clock comes around, and you sit, mind you, I'm sitting at a restaurant. I've already ordered. They brought the food out. And it was like, then 4 o'clock hit, and then you're like, well, then all of a sudden it's like 5:30, like, okay, where's my waiter? Then, everyone went home for a siesta. What? Like,
siesta?
I can just get up and walk away, like, no one was tripping about nothing. Like, yeah, the siesta was in the middle of their shift. They were like, oh, we're going to take a nap. I'm like, oh, whoa.
We need that.
And I'm like, and who was like, I want to live in America? I'm like, absolutely not. Like,
and
I'm
struggle,
like,
work 9 to 5 and then work at 6 to 10, you know what I mean? Have a job after a job.
Bro,
that's the American life.
You know? But again, thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
Where can everyone follow you, keep in contact,
for sure.
Share, like, continue to watch this journey?
For sure. So everything's at Creative Vice on Instagram. And then my website is www.creativevice.co.
Period.
Period.
So if you guys like that video and you want to see more, hit that subscribe button. You guys can follow me everywhere at Next Mood Swing across all social media platforms. We got new interview episodes every Sunday, live streams every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and also a new series that will be dropping very soon with my first guest, Julie Ovcharsky. So thank you and stay tuned.